This morning, as we shared earlier, we are continuing our teaching series entitled More Than Basic. Throughout this series, we're taking a look at little-known Bible characters and how they offer examples of God's work through unlikely individuals, illustrating that we are all indeed more than basic. We kicked off this series a few weeks ago by taking a look at little-known Jabez and learned how to embrace a more than basic mindset and dream God-sized dreams. Last Sunday, we looked at an unexpected heroine named Rahab and learned that because we are more than basic, we can make our mess our message for Christ's sake in the world. And today we're going to take a look at little-known Abigail, whose story is found in just one chapter of the entire Bible, and that's in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 25. From her, we learn that because we are more than basic, we can use our life to make peace. Throughout this series, we're also having some fun with Legos. You know, basic Legos are more, we're kind of like basic Legos till Christ gets a hold of us and we become more than basic. And we've been doing some fun things with that. And next Sunday, we're going to illustrate how when we blend our unique gift abilities together, God uses us to create something extraordinary for his purposes in the world. And today we're going to take a look at another clip from the Lego Movie. If you haven't seen the Lego Movie, the movie centers around Emmett, an ordinary basic Lego figurine who is mistakenly identified as the special, an extraordinary being and the key to saving the world. Throughout the movie, Emmett finds himself drafted into a fellowship of strangers who are on a mission to stop an evil tyrant's plans to conquer the world. At one point in the movie, Emmett, along with the rest of this fearless band of do-gooders, are captured by the evil Lord Business. As a result, Emmett finds himself strapped to a bomb and feeling as though he's the cause of what appears to be their impending doom. Let's watch this short little video clip.
I'm not the special. To think for a moment I thought I might be.
Emmett.
Who said that?
I did. I am Ghost Vitruvius. Emmett, you didn't let me finish earlier, because I died. The reason I made it the prophecy was because I knew that whoever found the piece could become the special, because the only thing anyone needs to be special is to believe that you can be. I know that sounds like a cat poster, but it's true. Look at what you did when you believed you were special. You just need to believe it some more.
But how can I just decide to believe that I'm special when I'm not?
Because the world depends on it.
All right. I don't know. Who here has seen the Lego Movie? See, it's okay to be honest about that, because now I'm telling you that I would never have just gone out. Like, I wouldn't go to the movie place. I wouldn't go to Glory to watch the Lego Movie. And I wouldn't even pull it up and rent it, right? It's just not something I would do. But when we started this series, I watched the movie. And it's actually kind of a funny movie. So I highly recommend it. If you haven't seen it, check it out. But in this clip, we see that Emmett, he's just not, for obvious reasons. You know, he's not feeling very special, but he's reminded that to be special, all you have to do is believe. And likewise, all we have to do is believe. We need to put our faith in and trust that we are who God says we are. And in Ephesians 2, verse 10, the Apostle Paul reminds us. He says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." You see, the reality is we are special. We are extraordinary. In Christ, we discover that we are a masterpiece handcrafted by the Creator of the universe to do magnificent and wonderful things for others in Jesus' name. And when we look at this obscure Abigail, who we learn about in 1 Samuel, we learn that because we are special in God's eyes, we can embrace a more than basic lifestyle and use our life to make peace. So let's take a quick look at what we know about Abigail. The story of Abigail, found only in 1 Samuel chapter 25, is an interesting one for many reasons. For one, her husband Nabal is a rather bizarre, very bizarre character. For no apparent reason, Nabal refuses David and his men's request for food and shelter. Despite knowing of David's previous benevolence to his shepherds, Nabal rudely refuses to aid David and his men as they try to keep one step ahead of King Saul, who's hotly pursuing them in order to dispatch them from existence. So in that context, we know that David's request was not unreasonable. I mean, he'd given aid and protection to Nabal and his family. But Nabal, who is described in verse 3 as surly and mean, essentially spits in the faces of David and his men. In response, David gets, you know, pretty angry and swears to kill every male associated with Nabal's household and is on his way with 400 men when Abigail meets him on the road. Abigail, having heard of David's anger, quickly reacts and organizes gifts of wine, grain, prepared meat, and cakes of figs for David and his men. When she catches up with David and his entourage, she immediately falls down in front of David, offers him the gifts, and pleads with David to show mercy to her husband Nabal and their household. As a result of her action, Abigail proves herself to be a righteous, caring woman. Abigail's soothing saves the day. In verses 32 through 34, we discover that David thanks Abigail for staying his hand and sees her intercession on his behalf as a blessing from God and sends her home in peace. So if you have a Bible, I invite you to take a hold of it and follow along as together we take a look at what Abigail teaches us about how we can embrace a more than basic lifestyle and use our life to make peace in the world. But first, let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Okay, here we go. So as we've already shown, Abigail is a great example of how to be more than basic and use one's life to make peace. And Abigail shows us two ways that we can do that. And here's the first. The first is act with holy boldness. Act with holy boldness. When a servant tells Abigail of what Nabal has done in David's anger, Abigail immediately responds with holy boldness and sets out to meet David and his men. Verses 20 through 22 tell us this. It says, as Abigail was riding her donkey into a mountain ravine, she saw David and his men coming toward her. David had just been saying a lot of good it did to help this fellow, referencing Nabal. We protected his flocks in the wilderness, and nothing he owned was lost or stolen, but he has repaid me evil for good. May God strike me and kill me if even one man of his household is still alive tomorrow morning. Now, no doubt, David needs to take an anger management course, right? Wouldn't you say? But in the midst of this fierce anger of David, Abigail embraces more than basic holy boldness and confronts David on his way to destroy Nabal and the men in his household. She embraces holy boldness with great wisdom and diplomacy. Abigail convinces David to change his plan, and Nabal and the men associated with his household are spared. David is grateful then for Abigail's intervention and holy boldness. And in verses 33 and 34 says this. He says, "Thank God for your good sense," talking to Abigail. "Bless you for keeping me from murder and from carrying out vengeance with my own hands. For I swear by the Lord, the God of Israel, who has kept me from hurting you, that if you had not hurried out to meet me, not one of Nabal's men would still be alive tomorrow morning." With holy boldness, Abigail used her life to make something beautiful, to make peace. Now, as we said at the beginning, a few moments ago, throughout this series, we're talking about basic Legos. And when you buy Legos, you know, they come with instructions to how to take your bag or box of Legos and to make something unique, something beautiful, something extraordinary. Now, I asked Christopher Donnell, our youth pastor, who has three daughters, did he have some Lego instructions? So he did, you know, but I got laughing when he handed this to me. Again, I have sons and grandsons. I've never had daughters or granddaughters, but I thought it funny when my kids and grandkids, they get Legos, it's Star Wars, it's Superman, Batman, you know, it's fire trucks and police cars and stuff like that. But look, the one that they do, it's like a little Barbie boat. Isn't that cute? But how do you create Legos to make a little Barbie boat? Well, you got to have directions. You got to figure out how to put everything together to make it nice. So without instructions, it's hard to make something beautiful to show us how to put the object together. And likewise, Abigail followed directions on what to do. Abigail followed God's directions and instructions, and as a result was able to avert disaster for David and her household. Because she embraced holy boldness and followed God's instruction, she was able to create something beautiful, and God used her life to make peace. Likewise, when God shows us something we can say or something we can do to bring peace in any situation like Abigail, then let's do it. So let's stop for a minute. And as we think about, our lives today, is there a situation that we are aware of right now where holy boldness with wisdom, grace, and diplomacy might go a long way in a particular situation? Maybe it's something to do at work or with our family or in the neighborhood, whatever. Remember, when God invites us and we see a need, God's inviting us to respond with holy boldness. And like Abigail, we're called to just do it. So let's invite God to show us how we might embrace holy boldness and allow God to use us to make peace in a situation. Second thing, walk in humility. First thing, embrace holy boldness. In other words, go. Don't sit back, go. And the second thing, do it with humility. Walk in humility. Abigail was very wise. She was a very wise woman. She knew David was angry, very angry, and was on his way to take out Nabal and every man connected with her household. However, Abigail didn't go walking up to David and say, "Okay, stop right there. What kind of an idiot are you? Why are you trying to do some stupid stuff like this? jeepers creepers, you know. You don't want to do that. So repent, you sinner, and go back, or something like that. No, of course, if she would have met David in that way, we know she'd be curtains now, and there would be no story to tell about her. But instead, she came with humility and approached David much different. Instead, she humbled herself. Verses 23 and 24 tell us that when Abigail saw David, she quickly got off her donkey and bowed low before him. She fell at his feet and said, "I accept all blame in this matter, my Lord. Please listen to what I have to say." During her intervention with David, Abigail called him her master 11 times and called herself his servant 6 times. That was the best possible way to get David to listen and change his behavior. As a result of Abigail's wisdom and willingness to walk in humility, she was able to embrace a more than basic lifestyle and use her life to make peace. Abigail followed God's instructions and was able to avert disaster for David and for her household. Because she was willing to walk in humility, God used her to create something beautiful. God used her life to make peace. And the Apostle Paul gives us a good picture of what walking in humility looks like in his letter to the church of Philippi. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, he says this. He says, "Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves." Now, the Message paraphrase of this passage goes like this. From the Message translation, we read, "Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand." Now, humility, remember, doesn't mean that we beat ourselves up or put ourselves down. Humility isn't self-rejection. Rather, it's about being confident enough in the fact that in Jesus we are more than basic, that we are God's special masterpieces. And as a result, we are then freed up to put other people ahead of ourselves and use our lives to make peace. You see, when we claim and realize who and whose we are, that we are God's masterpiece, His special creation, His extraordinary people, children, then knowing that, then we are freed, and only then, to reach out and put others before ourselves. The fact is, every day we make choices about our approach to life. We either approach life expecting to serve like Abigail or to be served like Nabal. So what would it look like for us to serve our coworkers or our classmates or our brother or sister or our spouse or children? What if we began to look for opportunities to serve our children, to serve our parents, or the guy we pass by every day on our way to work or school, or the person in line at the grocery store? You see, when we walk in humility and embrace a servant's heart, we embody a more than basic lifestyle and find ourselves being used by God to make peace in the world. I like what Rick Warren said in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life. He said, "True humility is not thinking less of yourself, it is thinking of yourself less." And I love the quote from author, sociologist, and evangelist Tony Campolo. He once said, "If you ever start to feel proud, just remember that soon after your body has been lowered into the grave, your family and friends will be eating potato salad and telling jokes, and you will be history." So there you go. I love that. The fact is, in the world today, there are simply no big shots. Now, there are people that think they're big shots, but in the world today, you know, at the foot of the cross, the playing field is level. There are no big shots in the world today. Politicians might think they're big shots. Some professional athletes might think they're big shots. But the only big shot is the big guy, the big God that we serve, who is able to do extraordinarily more than all we ever ask or imagine. There are no big shots. Only God is the big shot. And Abigail understood that. She got that. And because she was willing to follow God's instructions, she was able to embrace a more than basic lifestyle, which empowered her to act with holy boldness and walk in humility as God used her life to make peace in the world. For many years, a large silver star adorned the top of the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem. One day in the 1800s, the Roman Catholic Church, which shares a part of the building with a Greek Orthodox church, decided to take down the silver star and replace it with their own star. But the Greek Orthodox church refused to let them do that. The Greek Orthodox church was supported by Russia, and the Roman Catholic church was supported by France. But Turkey actually ruled over Palestine, ancient Palestine at that time. When Turkey sided with the Roman Catholic Church, Russia declared war on Turkey. France and England allied themselves with Turkey. Are you following all this? And fought what history calls the Crimean War, which lasted from 1853 to 1856, 3 years, and 900,000 people died in that three-year war over a stupid star. Now, is that crazy or what? But at the end of the war, the star came down, and the ones the Roman church wanted to put up was put up. 900,000 lives over a star. Now, with that in mind, check out what Paul says in Philippians chapter 2. Beginning in verse 14, he says, "Do all things without complaining or bickering with each other, so you will be found innocent and blameless. You are God's children, called to live without a single stain on your reputations among this perverted and crooked generation. Now, shine like stars across the land." You know, as a people called to embrace a more than basic lifestyle, as we allow God to use us to make peace in the world, that's the star that should shine from our church, and that's the star that should be shining from our hearts. "Shine like stars across the land," said the Apostle Paul. And just like with Legos, where we need to follow the directions to make something special, let's follow God's directive. Let's follow God's instructions and let the light of Christ shine forth from us like stars in the night as God works through us to make something special and extraordinary, to make peace in the world. So as we close today, I want to invite us to make our pew or chair an altar of prayer. And as we take time in personal prayer today, think about this. Like Abigail, we're all called to walk in humility and embrace a holy boldness as we seek ways to live our lives for peace in the world. So how will we shine like stars for Christ's sake this week? How will we shine like stars for Christ's sake this week? Where is God calling us to embrace holy boldness and walk in humility? What is God showing us about making peace in our group of friends, in our families, our household, our neighborhoods, our school, our workplace, around the world? Like Abigail, let's embrace a more than basic lifestyle and shine like stars as God uses our lives to make peace. Let's be silent now before God.